Please notice with me as we read Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Now, verse 19 is the only passage that we're going to actually be looking at this evening, but let's read verse 19, 20, and 21. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Father, we come before you humbly again this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love to us as your people. And Lord, we just pray tonight that we'll be attentive to thy word. Lord, that we will desire and pursue walking in the Spirit as we looked at last week. And Lord, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your kindness to us, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I think I hand out a copy of this before, but I brought it in the pulpit this morning and never made mention of it. We mentioned the candlesticks in Revelation chapter 1, mentioned again in chapter 2. And this is called, and I believe I gave you a copy of this one time in preaching on other subjects, but this is called the Arch of Titus. And it was built in 82 AD after the death of Titus to honor his victories, which included the conquest of Jerusalem in AD 70. And it has it has pictures of those carrying the things out of the temple from AD 70, and the candlestick is here. And I'll just lay this here if anybody wants to see that again, but I think I've handed out copies of that before. Notice with me as we come here to our text. Now, I read those three verses. They all three go together. We're going to spend probably three, at the most 4 weeks, in these three verses. And then we're going to step into the verses that describe unto us the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll probably spend three messages in that section as well. I want to camp out here. I don't want to get too fast with this. 10 years ago, or I should say 2010, which has been nearly 10 years ago, I preached a message titled The Works of the Flesh. And we also have a message titled The Fruit of the Spirit, which is one message. And we covered all nine aspects of that. But the message titled The Works of the Flesh that we done in 2010, I covered all three of these verses in one sermon. We're going to take a little bit more time than we did then, because there is a list here in this passage of 17 sins that drive our society, that drive human nature. And so we're going to spend an adequate amount of time in this. I just think it's important as we're studying this in a verse-by-verse setting. Now, if you just want to make note of this, these sins from verses 19 through 21 are, I believe, divided into four categories. And the first category is in verse 19, which there's four sins that are mentioned. And the first category is sexual sins, if you just want to make note of that. We have four categories here. The first one is sexual sins, obviously dealing with immorality and impurity. And these sexual sins are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. And then, as you step into the first part of verse 20, they are two spiritual sins, or you could call it religious sins, or corrupt worship, and that is idolatry and witchcraft. And then when you step into the third section, there's nine. And this is just, notice, well, let me just read them. We'll call them social sins. Kind of keep everything even here. Sexual sins, spiritual sins, and now social sins. And they read like this from verse 20. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. And then our fourth section, fourth category, is selfish sins. And there are two of those, self-indulgence. And this may not be the best way to categorize these, but this is what I've done. If I come up with anything better, I'll give it to you as we move on in this. But you have drunkenness and revelings. And so there's actually four categories of sins listed here. There's 17 sins that would tie in with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in 1 John chapter 2. And we said last week that there's only two ways that anyone can walk. We're either walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. And this is a sobering passage, but as we work our way through these, when we get into verse 22 and 23, the victory is from the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're either walking in the Spirit or either we're walking according to the flesh. And what is so great about this chapter is that God gives us a list. We can actually know how we're walking with the Lord. And He gives us a list of the works of the flesh, and there's 17 here, but there's other lists. You'll find a list in Romans 1, Romans 13, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9, 10, 11, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, and sometimes these are overlapping. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and then the last one, there's others, but these are the ones I bring to you tonight, is Revelation 21, 8. And so there's other sins beside this, but these are the ones that Paul listed to the church here. And notice he says in verse 21, he says in the latter part of that passage here, he said, and they which do such like, well, let me back up here. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He also, verse 21, let me just read from the beginning. I was looking toward the end. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And such like, that expression, is the fact that there are more. This is not an exhausted list. But another thing I want you to note here, as we get into this list, is that he says that they which do such things, in the latter part of verse 21, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we must take note of this. And again, in some of these passages I just gave, like Romans 1 and Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 and Revelation 21, also tells us that those that commit these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are some very sobering passages when we come to them. But again, we need not get discouraged with this list that we're going to be going through for the next few weeks, because on the other side of this list is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. In other words, there is hope for the Christian. And these sins that we're going to be looking at are the mark of the unregenerate. In other words, he says, and they which do these things. And that means they which practice them. This is their life. This is their lifestyle. They habitually continue in these. It's not just an isolated failure or falling into sin or some evil or whatever. It's someone who this is their lifestyle. And so we come back here to verse 19, and let's read this again. Now the works of the flesh are manifested. In other words, that is, they're very clear. They're open before us. They're made known to us. And he said, which are these? And again, tonight, we're going to take a few moments and look at adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and we're going to title these, this section, this category, as sexual sins, just simply dealing with immorality and impurity. Now, when we look at this, we see here, as we scan down through these verses, we see, first of all, corrupt sexuality. Next week, we're going to be looking at corrupt worship and on down the list. And we see clearly in this passage that the adulterer and fornicator will end up in hell in the same place that the sodomites end up in. This is the thing we've got to get in our mind. We want to categorize sexual sins, and one's a little worse than the other one. They all fit in the same category. Read the list. Read the list in Romans 1. If we have the time tonight, we'll read it. Got the fornicator and the uncleanness, but you also got the vile affections and the reprobate mind. And so they all end up in the same place. So we need not categorize that. And I want you to notice that this is first on the list, sexual sins. So taken so lightly in our society today. But the sexual sins here are at the top of the list before drunkenness and murder and theft. It's before anything else. It's right here at the top. He begins with four sexual sins, that is, corrupt sexuality. So let's begin with adultery. Let me read these four again, and then we'll turn away, and we'll look at some other passages. And he says here in the middle of this verse, toward the end of this verse, I should say, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. We're going to take a look briefly at these words. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, we just need to take God's word as serious as He takes it. Amen? And so these are very important for all of us to think about. And even Christians. He says here in chapter 13, reading in one verse. Now, what is adultery? We know that according to Scripture, that it is a violation of the marriage covenant, without any doubt. We know that God created man and woman in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. They would become one flesh toward the end of that chapter in marriage and holy matrimony. And so when we look at adultery, it's sexual activity between outside of the marriage covenant with someone else other than who they're married with. It is a violation of the seventh and the tenth commandment. I think it violates more than that, but the seventh and ten directly talks about it. Thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not covet, and one of the things to covet is another man's wife. And there's various forms of adultery. There is physical adultery, and there's also mental adultery. We can commit adultery in our minds, according to Matthew chapter 5. And this is why that we as Christians, that we've got to be very careful with the things we read, the things that we look at, the things that we listen to, because we live in a society that you cannot hardly get away from this. I mean, and in wherever you go, whether it's the music or Hollywood or books, romances, all that kind of stuff, pornography. When we go to the missions, we see people. I deal with and sit down with people that's been addicted to drugs, been addicted to alcohol, been addicted to immorality and fornication, and also pornography. And so we see here in chapter 13, so adultery is the violation of a marriage vow. And he said, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But he goes on to say, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Notice with me as we turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now I'm going to give a few passages, not all, in Matthew chapter 5. Because if you take adultery and fornication and begin in Genesis and go through Revelation, I don't even think I could read them all in one setting. Matthew chapter 5, notice here. Now he begins in verse 27, and notice this. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Very clear and plain. And he speaks of the eye here in verse 29 and the hand and so forth. He's used an extreme case. But he says here in verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast in hell. Now he's not just trying to tell you, you don't pluck your eyes out and whatever, but he's trying to use, showing you that anything that causes us to lean in the area of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that we must deal with that. And he says the same thing with the right hand. He's using an extreme case here, and he says this has got to be dealt with, you know, in our lives, because these do not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says also, as we come down to this chapter in verse 31, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving of the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. That's sobering words, isn't it? We talk about, is there an innocent party when there's a divorce? And no, I realize some people are innocent in divorce, but when you start looking at these passages, compare this to Matthew 19, the book of Mark, and the book of Luke, you'll find that that either one of those that remarry, well, one's done committed adultery if they're going out on their wife, but if a man puts away his wife, he remarries and she remarries, they commit adultery. That's very sobering. That's not known in the majority of our society in America. Notice in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19. So there's that physical adultery. There is that mental adultery. You can commit adultery in your heart and mind, just like you can have idols in your heart and mind. Notice in Matthew chapter 19, I want to go to chapter 15. Now, Matthew 19 deals with this, but I don't want to read in that tonight. I want you to notice Matthew 15, 19. Did I say that first? I didn't? Okay. Matthew 15, and we're going to be reading in verse 19. Notice here. Now, notice this carefully, because we see where all of this comes from. These sexual sins, they come from within side of us. And they have to be dealt with in that manner. He says here in verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. Now notice adulteries and fornication. Those two words are different. They're similar in some ways, but they're still yet different. And he goes on. We'll just stop there. But he goes on with some other sins here. But adulteries and fornications, These things come from the Adamic nature, out of the heart. That's why we must be born again, and that's why after that we're born again, we must walk in the Spirit, or we can never have victory over these things. It's an impossibility. Now notice with me in 1 Corinthians 6, I'm just walking you through some verses and that you can have to read. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now let's look at the word fornication. Now fornication, in general, we talk about fornication as sexual sins of unmarried people. Adultery is sexual sins of married people in general. Fornication is the sexual sins of unmarried people, but it includes more than that. It's a broader term. It is a bigger word that covers really all sexual sins. We find that it includes adultery sometimes. It includes incest, according to 1 Corinthians 5. It includes prostitution, according to 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to be reading in this passage. It includes premarital sexual activity. We see that in 1 Corinthians 7 and other places. It also includes bestiality in Leviticus chapter 18. And it includes, it's a word that's used for sodomy in Jude verse 7. So it's a little broader term. And I want you to notice that as we come here, I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want to read in verse 18. Now, from verse 9 through verse 20, kind of speaks of this subject. But notice verse 18, he said, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Now, he actually begins in verse 9, but notice verse 13, he said, "Meats for the belly and belly for the meat. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." And he says again, verse 15, he said, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And then we have the verse again, "Flee fornication," as Joseph did in the Old Testament. You can't deal with it. You can't reason with it. You can't hang around and play around with it. Joseph fled. And so he says, "Flee fornication." And he says, "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." There's something very dark about this sin. And by the way, the Greek word is porneia, porneia. And we get our English word pornography from this word. And in 2010, let's see, this article I wrote on fornication, 2008. In 2010, when I preached on this subject, the works of the flesh, and dealt with adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, I gave you these stats, and I never even looked up any new ones. I don't need them. These are bad enough. But in 2010, 15% of all websites are pornographic in nature. 25% of daily searches are for pornography. 20% of men are addicted. 17% of women are addicted. 35% of ministers are addicted. And these are some I just found kind of hard to believe. But 47% of Christians say it is in their home. That was the one that was very difficult for me to believe. These were some statistics almost 10 years ago, and I read them in this pulpit when I preached a message titled The Works of the Flesh. So we come here to the subject of fornication. Mention Old Testament, New Testament, mention all through the Scriptures. Many, many, many times. Now notice in verse 9, well, let me do something. Let me read from this article. Let me read from this article. The first point in this article, I have 3 points in it. Number one, fornication is a sin against oneself. The second point is fornication is a sin against others. And the third point is fornication is a sin against God. But the first point, I want to read this to you, the whole section, just a paragraph or so. And I'm quoting now. This is from our article in 2008. In 1 Corinthians 6:8, fornication is described as a sin against one's own body. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Sexual sins are some of the darkest sins of the human family, and are judged with the strongest judgment, Jude 7. This sin destroys a person physically, spiritually, and emotionally. In verse 15 and 16, it unites the fornicator to devils, and the individual becomes a soulmate of the other person. In verse 18, fornication is considered a sin against the body. This sin rises from within a person and has a peculiar effect on the body. It deadens the spirit of man and has a lasting moral stain on the body. It defiles the temple of God, verse 19 and 20. It weakens the individual and is like a cancer that eats away from the inside. Once indulged, it is difficult to overcome and can produce disease and shortness of life. Keep in mind that something happens in relation to sexual sins like no other sin. It opens up the spirit of fornication and unites us to evil or lustful spirits that fill our hearts with lust. The spirit of sexual sins cannot be separated from devils. It reduces one to an empty shell and enslaves them. There is no such thing as casual sex, and ultimately it damns a soul to hell. This is a sobering thought, and it's dealt with in Corinthians about 4 different times. If we back up into this chapter, he said in verse 9, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor the abusers themselves with mankind." Notice the word adultery, the word fornicator, and then 2 times he mentions the issue of sodomy with effeminate and abusers themselves with mankind. They all go to the same hell. We like to categorize, oh, the sodomy is so bad. What about adultery and fornication, uncleanness and lasciviousness? It is wicked as hell. And those who commit these things and never repent of their sins, they end up in a devil's hell. And the farther they go in this sin, the worse it gets for them, because they become an empty shell. They get hardened to the things of God. As a matter of fact, in Romans 1, beginning in verse 18, if we have time, we'll read it. When you start reading, before you get to the fact in verse 24, I believe it is, verse 25, that God gave them up into uncleanness, before you get there, you find that they've already rejected the Word of God. Verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And then you come from uncleanness, which basically is sexual immorality, and then you come down that God gave them up into vile affections. And then you come in verse 28, you come to the place where he says that he gave them over to a reprobate mind. But every bit of this, and you don't have to turn there, But every bit of this began, verse 18, rejecting the gospel in verse 16 and 17. It began right here. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness. Now listen, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those who reject the truth. And he says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal purpose and power rather in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Notice, professing themselves to be wise, they know more than God does, they became fools. And then in verse 24, wherefore? Where does this start at? Rejecting the truth of God's word. He said, wherefore, in view of this, God gave them over to uncleanness, to the lust of their own flesh, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature, that is, worshiping man himself. I am God. I can direct my own destiny. And he says, worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And then he says in verse 26, it goes to another level, and God gave them over to vile affections. That's sodomy, full-blown sodomy. And then it goes to another level, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or fitting. And then he lists another group of sins here of covetousness and fornication and unrighteousness and wickedness, maliciousness, and on he goes with this list. And he said in verse 32 that they will be judged. Talking about sobering things. Notice 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Even the revilers against the truth, they reviled on Christ. They revile on the church and slander the word of God and the Christian that believes the word of God. He said they will not inherit the kingdom of God unless there's repentance. But thank God, he says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We must be cleansed. Cleansing comes through repentance and faith. He says in 1 John, if we'll confess him, he'll cleanse us from our sins, if we'll confess our sin. Notice in 1 Corinthians 5, see, this is not an isolated deal. When we talk about sexual sins that are leading the list, top of the list in Galatians 5, we're not talking about isolated things. I could stand here until 9 o'clock tonight and read you verses in Genesis chapter 19, and we could just come all through the scripture. We could end up in Revelation. Why, in Revelation we find fornication, chapter 2 and chapter 9 and chapter 21. It's a major issue throughout the Bible. What is interesting is when in the book of Acts, chapter 15, when you have your first council meeting, and that'll be verse 19 and 20 and 29, I believe, when you have your first council meeting to reconcile Jews and Gentiles, you know, one of the things is there's about four things that are listed there and said, send these out to the Gentile churches. The apostles carried them out. And here's four things that the Gentiles are to do in order for there to be harmony in the church. And you know what one of those is? Abstain from fornication. He mentions meats offered to idols and things of that nature. But one of the four major things that was sent out to the Gentile churches, because this sin was prevalent among the Gentiles, was the subject of fornication. Well, notice as we turn to chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 9. Now, in verse 1, the word fornication. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Come down with me to verse 9. I wrote unto you an epistle to not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous and extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. In other words, you couldn't even get away from them. But then he said in verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer. He says, don't even sit down and eat with them. Don't keep company with them. He said in verse 12, what have I do to judge you, to judge them rather also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We see here in this chapter, well, it's actually chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10. So many verses, I'm just trying to, I wrote a few down and I'm bringing some from memory. And as I get to look at this subject, we could just go on and on with this. I mean, again, Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, Romans 1, Hebrews 12. Remember Esau, we preached weeks ago, was a fornicator. Jude 7, Revelation 9, 21, Revelation 2, verse 14. It's endless at the things that God has said about this. We find here in 1 Corinthians 10, the children of Israel, in verse 1 and 2, they all came through the sea and were under the cloud, all were baptized into Moses in verse 1 and 2, and did all eat the same spiritual meat in verse 3, and drank all the same spiritual drink in verse 4, but it says in verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now there's a number of sins here. Lusting after evil things, idolatry in verse 7, committing fornication in verse 5, tempting Christ in verse 9. But notice, let's just read verse 8. In verse 8, let's read verse 7 and 8 together. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 320,000. That's a lot of people killed in one day over one subject, fornication. That's a lot of people. So God hates this sin. It destroys the body. It destroys the mind, the heart, the conscience that we have. He'll rob us of all these things. Now in Revelation 21, you don't have to turn there. I read it this morning. Revelation 21, 8. He says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So let's go back to Galatians. Well, we can just take these words. We won't have to turn back there. Let's take the next word, uncleanness. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let us begin in verse 3. I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 7. What is uncleanness? I just mentioned God said in Romans 1:24 that he gave them up unto uncleanness. In other words, as a person, now think about this, there's a progression here. Because uncleanness is basically the result of sexual impurity. So there's this progression. And when we consider uncleanness, impurity includes sins of the heart, the mind, the actions, the words. But we've got here the adultery, the fornication, and now we've got the word unclean. And again, this is the result of the of rejecting the Word of God, as in Romans 1, verse 18 through 23, and also sexual impurity. Because God gave, as they rejected the Word, rejected the truth, did not want the Word of God in their hearts and minds, we find then God said that He gave them over to uncleanness. So how do we get to this point? By rejecting God, ignoring His Word. That's how we come to this place. We see this in America all around us. And the Greek word that is translated, well, now let me not go there yet. I started pulling lasciviousness. Let's stick with uncleanness for a moment. Find uncleanness mentioned a number of times. Again, Romans 1:24, God gave them up unto. And then we find it again in Romans 6, verse 19. Again, as we talked a few weeks ago, we're either walking in righteousness or walking in unrighteousness, walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. And we would find this sin, I'm going to read here in just a moment, but we would find this sin associated with Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 19, especially the word, yes, both these words. I want to read that to you. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians 4, verse 18, 19, and 20. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Now, verse 19, who being past feeling, given themselves over, notice, to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. There's that word again. And we see this word, I believe, in Ephesians chapter 5, yes, in verse 5, talking about no unclean person or covetous person or idolater shall inherit the kingdom of God. We would see this again in Colossians 3, 5. So just make note of those in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 5. So I'm just trying to show you how serious this is, and it's never to be taken lightly. He said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. And he says, which is idolatry. In verse 6, he said, and for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Again, they do not inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to have both the word fornication and uncleanness in our text. Beginning in verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Verse 7, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. So uncleanness is the opposite of holiness. And again, it's impurity of the mind, of the heart, our actions, our words, all of these things play into this. And here's the thing. This includes uncleanness. Now just think about this. Uncleanness includes anything that defiles. Just make note that uncleanness includes anything that defiles the mind, the heart, or the body. Includes anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Anything that defiles. Now let's look at the word lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. Turn with me to the book of Jude. In the book of Jude. And you can also write down 2 Corinthians 12:21. I think you have fornication, lasciviousness, and uncleanness all in the same chapter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. Now, we find here, what is lasciviousness? Well, it's uncontrolled lust, basically is what it is. And it's the consequences of all the above. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, we just have that progression. And so, lasciviousness, the ideal here is a license to sin. I've got liberty and can do whatever I want to do. It means excess, absent of moral restraint. It's unbridled appetites. It's that which is out of control. And anything goes. And we see this in our society. It's also looseness or unauthorized indulgence. And the Greek word is translated filthy. Now, lasciviousness, the Greek word is translated filthy in 2 Peter 2:7, and it's translated wantonness in Romans 13, verse 13. Matthew 7:22, it's one of the evils that proceed out of the heart. It also comes from the heart. That's Mark, not Matthew. It's Mark 7:22. All right, now notice with me. In the book of Jude, reading verse 3 and 4. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now notice verse 4. For there are certain men, creeping unawares, who before of old were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, now watch this, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, according to Galatians 5, is a work of the flesh. It has nothing to do with the fruit of the Spirit. So it's a work of the flesh, and he said, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Titus, and we'll close here. In Titus chapter 2. So there are those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, a looseness, a license to sin. And I'll give you two other verses to write down, we'll not turn to. Jeremiah 6:15 tells us, and Isaiah 3:9 tells us that there are those who sin so much they don't even blush anymore. Do we not see this in our society? Did we not see this last Sunday night? Yeah, we saw this last Sunday night. Not anybody in this church for the sake of the audio, but we saw this last Sunday night. There's no shame, according to those passages, no shame. What was once abominable is now promoted and accepted. That's those passages I gave you. And Jeremiah 6:15 and Isaiah 3:9. So let's close here in the book of Titus. And I want to begin in verse 11 and read through verse 15. And I want you to know, and you've heard this many times in this church, and we've got an article titled Grace, and we deal with this in the article. We deal with the word lasciviousness, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And I want you to notice from what we read, the same grace in verse 11 teaches us something. The same grace that saves us teaches us to live righteous. Notice now as we come here, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, notice, some are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. But God says the grace that saves us, brings us into the kingdom of God, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself, notice, a peculiar people, zealous of good works, these things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach these things until Jesus comes. And we must do that. So the grace that saves us, like in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are we saved through faith. We find that, by the way, that same grace that saves us also has another element to it in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. We're definitely saved by the grace of God. But we also find that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, would you stand with me tonight? We will continue on in verse 20 next week. Father, we thank You tonight for this privilege to be here. We thank You for this morning, the opportunity to come and look into Your Word and to pray and to sing the songs of Zion. And Lord, I pray tonight for Your blessings to be upon the remaining of this service. Lord, just be with us. And after we leave here tonight and go about our way and our duties this week, we pray, Lord, that You keep us close to You, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.